Welcome to episode 142 of the Geocaching Podcast, Midwest Geobash, recorded live on February 16th, 2010. I'm your host, XPunkX, with
Daryl W4 and
Montu Ryder.
If you wish to participate on our show today, please call 724-444-7444, and our TalkCast ID is 7525. You can chat and participate with our other listeners at geocachingpodcast.com/live. Click the Join Now button to participate. We have a voicemail line, 206-3503-GPS, and we're on Twitter at twitter.com/GCPodcast. This episode is sponsored by Cache Advance. See cache-advance.com for all of your caching needs. Welcome back, guys. It's been a couple weeks since we've done this here. Montu, how you been?
Pretty good. Since we did CacherCon, went out and did some caching, got several finds, thank goodness. Took last week and this week off because of some special events going on with the trains. So before that kicked off, was able to dedicate some time strictly to finding some caches and got a few under the belt. Then starting Friday through today, we've had our Florida Live Steamers meet at our track here at Cruise Lake. Had about 40 trains visiting. The pictures can be seen on my Flickr set, and I've posted a link to that in the show notes. But other than that, it's been a busy week. I've been taking a lot of photos out at the track. Did about over 200 photos and almost an hour worth of video that I've shot. And now to get it all put together and get it up to the train's website. How about you guys?
Well, I finally got out and did a little bit of caching on Saturday. A buddy of mine and I went to Algonac, Michigan, try to check out some of the ice-breaking activity on the St. Clair River, which unfortunately they have to do because if they allow the channels to freeze, they have flooding all the way upstream, and that's not a good thing. So, yeah, they had some cool icebreaker activity, got some pretty good photos, but decided to head up to Port Huron from Algonac, which is, you know, along the shore there, and caught one cache. Tried for three, only got one. So not very good, but hey, you know, I'm getting back into it. You know, how was your weekend, though, X-Punk X?
Well, mine wasn't too bad. We've really just been switching a lot of stuff around in our house, getting ready for the new baby. We've been moving room and rooms and rooms, just moving everybody around and kind of consolidating and getting rid of a bunch of stuff that we've had for a long time, but really never got thrown away, stuff that we really didn't need. So I've really just been moving around lots of stuff, lots of stuff that I even forgot that I had, lots of cables and things that I'm probably going to have to get rid of.
Yeah, the joy of rearranging for a new baby.
Yeah, you know, the new baby is due here at the beginning of April, so it's getting down to that crunch time for us.
Yeah, well, you know, it's at least you got a little bit of time between now and then, and, you know, CacherCon's over with, you can kind of not worry about too much else, I guess.
That is true. That is true. So, until next year.
That is true.
Now, we did receive some feedback from Art from the Centennial State Geocaching Podcast on our episode 139. And he says that he's laughing, as in Colorado mountains in the summer, it's not uncommon to have summer snow shower, sometimes with thunder too. So he said some warm clothing is always a must. Also for clothing, avoid cottons as they do not wick the perspiration well. And also take a good fire starter with you. And he said you can even take cotton balls that are dipped in Vaseline, store that in a Ziploc bag, and it'd be good to start a fire. He said another good item to have with you in place is a piece of aluminum foil. It can be used as an effective signaling device, and also you can crumple it up and flatten it out. There are many reflective surfaces that do just as good job, if not better, than a mirror. So that was on our episode that we were talking about hiking and things like that. Thanks, Art, for putting that feedback in. Now, Montu, there's a bunch of things in our news items today before we actually get into our main topic. Can you kick us off?
Not a problem. We'll kick off this week's news with the announcement by Head Hard Hat at CasherCon 2010. We'll have a link to his blog post in the show notes, but look for Head to Hard Hat's Treasure Cache show on a major U.S. broadcast network and worldwide distribution this September. We don't have too much information available yet, but he says that it will be a travelogue focused on geocaching. Congratulations, Head Hard Hat.
Also in the news, Engadget has reported this week on an increased level of solar activity, which will likely cause interference for our GPSs. According to researchers at Cornell in the UK, and in the UK, the sun will shortly head into its solar maximum period with higher surface temperature or with higher surface and radiation activity. The effect will be delayed GPS signals to our receivers down here on Earth, leaving us with triangulation errors. They're forecasting inaccuracies of up to 10 meters or even signal blackouts, which could last for hours. Check our show notes to the link on that brief article, or check it out in the chat room.
Also from Engadget story, a topic that came up during the CasherCon coffee last week, that the Galileo systems is back on track to be functional by 2014. Galileo is Europe's own satellite navigation system, which will need 27 satellites for full functionality, but plans to launch 32. Funding has been approved to build the next 14 satellites, bringing the total to 22 by 2013. The plan is still to have the system online by 2014. We'll link to that show in our show notes as well. Montu?
In product news, Garmin announced two newbie phones for the Mobile World Congress show. The first, the A50, is an Android phone with a 3.5-inch HVGA captive touchscreen. It will have Garmin navigation with turn-by-turn voice-prompted directions for use in a car or while walking. Location features are designed into virtually every function, including email, text messaging, and photos. The other phone is the M10, based on Windows Mobile 6.5.3. This phone has a 3.5-inch WVGA display touchscreen and full QWERTY keyboard. We'll have the links to the releases for both phones in our show notes.
And GPS TrackLog reports on a new personal locator beacon from Cobham Life Support-ACR Products that's going to challenge the Spot Messenger. This personal locator beacon uses the COSPAS, and I'm not sure I'm pronouncing that right, SARSAT system to aid in search and rescue missions while still allowing the self-test function and non-distress messages. The new service will be priced between $40 and $60, making it much cheaper to run than the Spot, which is currently at $100 for the basic service. This also allows for emergency extraction even after the subscription has expired, so that will be a lot nicer for those of us who have purchased the device and decide we don't want the service. It will still work for emergency extractions. We'll have a link to the article in the show notes.
One final thing. Dan with the Maryland Science Center dropped us a note about the GPS Maze exhibit opening there this weekend. If you're in Baltimore area, the GPS Maze opening event is GC22386 this Saturday from 10 a.m. through 1 p.m. The GPS Maze will be at the Science Center through April 18th, though. If you want to try for that special GPS Maze icon, we'll link to both the event and the Science Center in our notes.
Geocaching question of the day. Bad cop asks, you answer.
Hello, this is the Bad Cop, and welcome to the geocaching question of the day. Each weekday, I ask a geocaching-related question to my Twitter audience and then summarize the replies and post it on my website. I hope this little project will keep you up to date on the ever-changing face of geocaching. My question today, do you have new geocache notifications sent to your cell phone? Over two-thirds of us responded yes, that we have those notifications sent right to our cell phones. In fact, one just popped up for me tonight. However, I had other commitments and couldn't get to it. It's right by work, so I will be finding it this week. So tell me, do you have geocache notifications sent to your cell phone? Want to find out all this and more? Follow me, the Bad Cop, on Twitter.
this week we have on Sonia with us, who is one of the organizers for Midwest Geobash 2010. Sonia, welcome to our podcast.
Hi, thanks for having me.
We wanted to have you on to get a little bit of an idea of what the event's going to be like, what can we expect around there, what's a lot of different things. I know myself and Daryl have participated in years past, but some of the people, we do have a global audience. First things first, what exactly is Midwest Geobash?
Well, I think the basic idea is just like with any other event. It's just that we really just want to get everyone in the hobby together. I mean, everyone always likes to meet up with other cachers and share stories and, you know, make other friends other than just, you know, walking the trail by yourself. So this is really a good way for a whole group of people. I mean, we actually get more than 1,000 every year just to get together, have fun, do random things, camp together, go caching together. You know, that's really the bulk of it.
Yeah, and it is in a different location every year. So, well, I shouldn't say every year, but it moves around within the Midwest. I believe it's every 2 years at a specific location. Am I correct?
Well, we don't really have a method to it anymore. I think it's just this past year we really like the event. It works well for us to at least revisit the same location. So that way there's so much troubleshooting in starting in a new place. And when you visit the same place again, you can just have all the lessons learned from the previous year and just expand and make it better in the next year. So that's what our thinking was this year.
Yeah, and it does make it nice for attending when it moves around and whatnot. But yeah, I definitely understand the planning difficulties that go along with that. But when is it that it's going to be held this year, and where is it exactly?
It's actually in Waseon, Ohio, at the Fulton County Fairgrounds. Like you said, same as last year. It's about 30 minutes west of Toledo, Ohio. That's probably like the closest big city to Waseon. It's kind of out in the farmlands, you know. Waseon City itself, like the downtown, is a couple miles south of the fairgrounds, but pretty much just out there. Just have the fairgrounds all to ourselves, and we take advantage of it.
Yeah, Bad Cop is saying that he loves Toledo. It's where his parents are from, and I'm sure Andy wants to go back just to get some more Tony Pacos.
That is true. I do love yeah. Tony Pacos. Now, I understand that there's a different kind of a theme every year. Can you tell us about this year's theme?
Yeah, every year we have a mascot that is based on a bird. Pretty much we pick a different bird every year. And for the past couple of years, we've been associating themes with it as well. And so for this year, what our mascot is the eagle. And we decided to go with that and have kind of a casino-type theme. We've titled it Let the Games Begin. So we're hoping to kind of have a bunch of different events within Geobash that are kind of casino-themed. Like, we're planning to do a poker run, and then we also have, like, poker, geocoin poker that we also do. And there's actually tons of other ideas that we're still going through and trying to figure out which of the crazy ones we can actually pull off this year. So still a lot to come as to how we're going to put it all together, so...
Well, and I'm sure there's still a lot of planning that has to go into this year's event, seeing as that it's more than half a year away. Or actually, no, I guess it's not quite half a year away. But I know that last year and in some of the previous years, they've had a decorating contest for the campers. Any idea if that's still going to happen?
Yes, definitely. That's always one of our favorite parts of the event is... We always, there's one also one of the things that we always think about in picking a theme for every year is making sure we don't pick something so outlandish that it's hard for people to decorate too. Because we encourage people to decorate their campsites in tune with the theme that we have for each year. And so, like for last year, we had the cowboy chicken. And so we had things from people decorating their campsites, like in fashion of an old-time wagon. We had people with actual sheriff set up with the chickens and things like that. And it gets really crazy. And we also were giving away lots of GPS units for people that really went above and beyond and really just put together an awesome display for the theme as well. So that's something that we're definitely doing again this year. It's something that just really helps to contribute to the fun of the event. And we always love seeing what people come up with every year, because it's even just above and beyond what we even could think of. So,
yeah, definitely one of the bigger attractions.
Now, how long is the event?
The event is, it starts on Thursday morning, and then it ends on Sunday, like, afternoon. It goes on for all of those days, and then we actually end up setting up all day on Wednesday. So it's a full 3 days and then kind of a half day Sunday. Sunday is just kind of normally everyone's gone by noon. Everyone packs up and leaves. So,
sure. What are some of the things that we can expect there as far as maybe things that have changed since last year? I know that I was there last year. What are some new things this year maybe, and just some things to expect?
Well, a lot of the basics and the schedule, which we don't have the schedule posted yet, but a lot of the basics that we have every year, we bring back. And like I said, we're still brainstorming on new ideas. We don't have anything completely solid yet, but definitely from last year, like, we have our silent auction that we have on Saturdays. We have sessions where, like, we always have a reviewer panel for people to come in and talk to the reviewers and have discussions that way. And like I said, we started the poker run last year. We are planning to bring that back again this year. Kind of think, oh, of course, one of the biggest attractions of Midwest Geobash is Area 51, which, of course, that's never going to go away. And that, of course, is our late night campfire get-together where everyone just gathers around a campfire and has a great time. So,
yeah, that is definitely not a kid-friendly event.
Well, we advertised that it's open and available to everyone up until about 10 o'clock at night. And then we figure after 10 o'clock, really anyone's going to, at that point, it's kind of going to go how it goes. So, yeah.
Yeah, definitely. But during the day, you have all kinds of kid-friendly events and stuff going on. As I recall, when I was there a few years ago, there were some coloring and even some cash-making events for the kids.
Yeah, last year we had a group from Pennsylvania that came and donated a bunch of ammo cans and had like an ammo painting contest with the kids. And then for the past couple of years, we've also brought in clowns that do balloon animals and face painting for the kids. And it's something that we always try to make sure we include is having the kids involved in the event, because I mean, of course, it's largely adults that come, but we got to include the kids too and make sure that they have a good time as well as everyone else. So we always get a lot of good suggestions and how to add to that for the kids every year too.
And one of the big attractions for a lot of the people that I know around here is the coin poker. Is that going to be reoccurring?
Yes. Yes, that's, I think, I'm trying to remember, we typically move it around. I think last year we had it on Friday evening, and I wouldn't be surprised if we have it again then, too, because typically our Saturday schedule gets so busy. But the GeoCoin Poker is actually a tour. It goes around to a lot of the major events. Like every year, for the past couple of years, we've had it also at Geo Woodstock and at GeoCoin Fest. Pete and I, he's the Moop Along, one of the other organizers, him and I actually run the GeoCoin Poker at the other events too, and so of course we have it for Midwest Geobash as well, and that's definitely coming back again next year too.
Excellent.
For those of you, our listeners who may not know what a GeoCoin Poker is, can you briefly explain that?
Yeah, what it is, we typically put up a list of an offer for people to want to join in, we do a random drawing of 40 people, and what it ends up being is you contribute 3 coins into a pot to be able to play GeoCoin poker. And so it's pretty much like a Texas Hold'em poker tournament that we run with 40 people then. And it ends up getting to the last person winning, I think it's 50% of the pot of coins that everyone put in order to play. And then also it's a set of poker chips that are designed especially for the poker game that are actually coins. And actually at the final table, they play with those coins as well. So it's pretty exciting.
Now, for those of us who are not from the area, what are some of the other area attractions that we can maybe kind of incorporate into our trip when we get there?
Pete and I are actually from Toledo. So, of course, there's lots of things that we know of in the area. I think, as it was mentioned, Tony Paco's, of course. You can always go there and get some great food. The Toledo Zoo, actually, if you're in the city of Toledo, I know I have a lot of friends in Detroit that actually come down to Toledo to come to our zoo here. And we also have the Sauter Village, which is out a little bit west of Wauseon. They have a great historical site, and lots of people go and visit there. And, of course, there's lots of caching. I mean, we have a really big population of cachers in the Toledo area, and there's tons of caches in the area. And I know especially just south of, actually, I think it runs through Wauseon, we have a Rails to Trails bike trail. And I think there's easily like 30 caches along there for maybe like 30 miles. So I know lots of people have fun taking their bikes and doing that cache run too. So.
Well, I know that some of the cachers from the Detroit area have gone down and done power runs with more than 100 caches in, I think they did it in less than 12 hours. So plenty of caches down in the Toledo area. Now, for those of us who are looking to go, what do we need to do to actually, you know, tell you guys that we're going to be there?
Well, one way is to post a will attend on the cache page. That's a great way to do it. Also, if you go to our website, which is midwestgeobash.org, or faster and quicker way, mwgb.org, also takes you to the same place. Registration is free. You sign up on our site and just post that you're coming, and that goes into our database and lets us know that you're coming. And that also gives you the option to reserve camping and also pre-order event swag, which involves T-shirts and coins and pins and things like that. And we're actually opening registration in just under 2 weeks. It's actually going to start on March 1st this year, so coming up soon.
And what are the benefits of the early bird registration?
Well, every year we've always had it so that if you pre-order event swag, you would get a discount. It would typically be like 10 to 15%. A new thing we're doing this year, because we have so many people that kind of like our regular groups of people that always come every year that are just diehard Midwest Geobash people that sign up within 3 hours of registration opening. We wanted to do something to give back to them this year. So what we're doing is having an early bird special for the month of March, where all of the event swag is actually 20% off regular price, which is an even more discount than what we have for the rest of the year up until the event. So we're really hoping that this helps save some of our diehard Geobash fans a little bit more money and encourages people to register and decide to put in their vacation time and commit to coming earlier on in the year. So,
and that special was good for all the whole month of March, you said?
Yes, the entire month of March.
And then for those who aren't into camping, I assume there's some nearby hotels?
Yes, and we have those listed on our website. There's four hotels within a quarter mile of the event. And actually, Mike Trippy, 1976. He's actually one of the founders, as well as the third member of our organization. He walked home every night after Area 51 to the hotel. So it's definitely within walking distance. So that way you don't have to worry about being too far away from the events, and you don't have to worry about driving late at night should you not choose to. So
probably a very good thing if you're attending Area 51.
Yeah. I was going to say, so we know from experience that it's safe to walk home from Area 51 to the local hotels, because Mike did it every night for a couple nights. So,
yeah, thanks again for coming on to the show with us here. And again, your website is midwestgeobash.org, correct?
Yes.
Thanks, and we hope that a lot of our listeners are able to make it out to the Geobash.
Yeah, the more the merrier. I mean, we're always looking to have more people and join in the fun, so come on out.
All right, Daryl, it sounds like a fun event, and I don't know if we're going to make it this year or not, but it was an event. It was a fun event. It looks like there's going to be a lot of people there that listen to the podcast. Are you guys going this year?
No, we're going to be hitting Geo Woodstock instead, so don't have the vacation time or the spare funds to make yet another trip, even though it is just down to Toledo.
True. And like I said, you know, with a new baby and everything, I don't know if we're going to be there, but it is a fun event, and hopefully all you guys can get out there.
Though it would be interesting to have the first cache of the new kid be a mega event.
That is true. And we do have, each of our kids have their own caching account, so that would be interesting for the new one to be a mega event.
Yeah, I'm not sure Julie would approve, but you know, hey. It's worth a shot.
Come on, I can try. I'll let you know how that goes.
You do that.
Well, guys, we at the Geocaching Podcast here had come up with a little survey. We want you to help us better understanding the needs of you guys and the wants of what you are of our audience. We ask that you, if you want to, go ahead and go to geocachingpodcast.com/survey and complete this short survey. It doesn't take you too long. And for thanks for that, we're gonna, at the end, you'll get a link to the my GSAC presentation that I did at CacherCon. I know that there was a few people here who listened to it, and they got hopefully a few things out of it. So hopefully you will too. Again, that's geocachingpodcast.com/survey. Thank you all for subscribing to the Geocaching Podcast. Join us each Tuesday at 9:30 p.m. Eastern time on the TalkShoe service. You can call in live at 724-444-7444, and our ID is 7525. We'd love to have you come out and talk with us. Our show notes and links to all of our past shows can be found at geocachingpodcast.com. You can call our voicemail line, 206-350-3GPS, anytime to leave us a voicemail. Have a safe week and happy caching.